bring out this morning. I want to start with a background reading in the 13th chapter of Leviticus. 13th chapter of Leviticus, we're going to read some scripture there, and then we're going to take our text from the 8th chapter of Matthew. But starting in Leviticus, in the 13th chapter and the first verse, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, When a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a rising, a scab, or bright spot, and it be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, or unto one of his sons the priest. And the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh, and when the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague in sight be deeper than the skin of the flesh, it is a plague of leprosy. And the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. If the bright spot be white in the skin of the flesh, and in the sight be not deeper than the skin, and the hair thereof be not turned white, then the priest shall shut up him that hath the plague 7 days. And the priest shall look on him the seventh day, and behold, if the plague in his sight be at a stay, and the plague spread not in the skin, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days more. And the priest shall look on him again the seventh day, and behold, if the plague be somewhat dark, and the plague spread not in the skin, the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is but a scab, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean." And I want to skip in Leviticus, that same chapter, down to the 45th verse. "And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip, and shall cry, Unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone, without the camp shall his habitation be." Now I want to move over to Matthew in the 8th chapter, and we're going to read the first 4 verses for our lesson this morning. So starting in the first verse of the 8th chapter of Matthew, it says, "When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for testimony unto them." And we'll end the reading there. And I want to go back to the 3rd verse. It says, "And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean." And that's my thought this morning, is be thou clean. Be thou clean. Now, we read the background there, and I skipped down. If you want to go back, there's a whole lot more between the 6th verse and the 45th verse, all about leprosy in there. And it's very detailed what has to be done and all of these things. But what we want to understand is that leprosy was a very serious and debilitating skin condition. Now, what we know of as leprosy today from a medical standpoint, not necessarily all-encompassing of what they considered leprosy. At this time, leprosy was any kind of disease that affected the flesh. And it may have also entailed what we know medically consider leprosy today, and it may have also been other things as well. But it was a disease of the skin. And it was very serious, and it was spreading. And it was contagious in certain forms, depending on what the specific type of leprosy was. But again, in that day and age, they really didn't know, understand, or been able to diagnose the difference between one that was contagious and one that wasn't. But it was also an obvious disease. It was one on the outside. You know, so often medical diseases are on the inside. You know, you can't see it. You might see the effects thereof. You might see that somebody's pale or that they're in pain. But a lot of the things that affect us that are serious diseases are on the inside, and the world can't see them. But, you know, not so with leprosy. It was a disease that was worn right on the outside. The whole world could see it. And so we want to understand that in the Bible, when we talk about leprosy, it is a picture of sin. Leprosy is a picture of sin. Now, I don't want to get that confused. That does not mean that everybody that was afflicted with leprosy was a lost sinner. But that was the picture that God was trying to show them. And if you read, again, in that 13th chapter of Leviticus and look how severely it had to be dealt with, you'll understand that God was drawing a picture for them. He wanted them to understand that this leprosy that was on the outside was serious, and it had serious consequences, serious ramifications, and it was a picture all throughout of sin. As a matter of fact, they understood that. They believed, whether it was right or wrong, they believed that somebody that was plagued with leprosy was especially cursed by God. Now, we know that that's not always necessarily the case. There were times, and we may talk about a couple in the Bible where that was the case, where God did curse someone with leprosy because that they had sinned, but it was a disease, and probably it had got in among the Israelites down in Egypt. As they were living as slaves, they were probably living in close and unsanitary conditions, and it's a kind of disease that flourishes there. You know, that's why here in the West, we don't really see much leprosy. Y'all have never seen a leper colony. You've never been to one. You know, in places like India, they still have leper colonies. In some countries where they live in very close proximity and they don't have the same sanitary and medical conditions that we do, there are still people that suffer from leprosy. And so it's a disease that maybe has its origins there, but then once it gets in among a people, it just begins to spread and can affect. And you know, sin is like that. Once it gets in and among a people, it just spreads like wildfire. And you know, the thing about the leprosy is also, you know, the skin. Our skin is a wonderful and marvelous organ, you know, it is the largest organ in the body. Most of you know that, and it encompasses the rest of our body. It protects the vital things on the inside. It's a shield from the dirt and the bacteria and all those things. And that's how we know, you know, as long as your skin's intact, you can come into contact with diseases and bacteria and things like that, and it won't get in. But as soon as you get a cut and the inside is exposed, that's when bad things begin to get in your body. And so when your skin is whole, it shows that you are whole. And part of what leprosy is, it affects the skin. The skin becomes scaly in different times, and it cracks, and it maybe oozes things. And it, you know, it's horrible to even talk about. We don't even want to talk about how bad it is. Now think about having to be seen. People with leprosy, it was something that other people didn't even want to look at because it was so defiling, and it just disgusted them. You know, sin's that way. Sin ought to be that way. It ought to be something that we don't want to look upon, that we don't want to see. It ought to disgust. It ought to affect us viscerally the way that looking upon somebody affected with this bad leprosy would. And so there's a great picture there of sin. It's sickening to look at, and sin ought to be sickening to look at. It's contagious, and sin is contagious. Just like that leprosy is contagious, so is sin. It gets in and it spreads, and you all know that. That's why God has told us as His people to be ye separate from the world. We're not supposed to. We're in the world, but not of the world. We shouldn't be out there rubbing elbows any more than we have to with this wicked and perverse world, because it spreads. It gets onto us too, doesn't it? And so the leprosy is like that. And because of that contagious nature, it caused them to be cast out. What did it say, that last bit that I read there? All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He should dwell alone without the camp. Outside of the covenant of Israel, and outside of the camp meant outside of the protection of God. God was with Israel. He was with His people. That was where you went to worship. And if you were cast out of the camp, you were cast out away from God. Alone and separated from God. That's what outside the camp meant. And that's the way they had to be with leprosy. And that is a perfect picture of what sin has done to each and every one of us. It defiles us. It's disgusting for God to look at. You and I, we can't see the blackness of our heart. I can't look at you and see the blackness of yours, much less mine. But I'll tell you, God can. When God looks down, sin disgusts Him. Just like you would be disgusted. You couldn't help it, but to be viscerally disgusted if you walked into a leper colony and saw all these lepers with all their issues going on, it would disgust you. And that's the way sin looks to God. That's the way we look to God in our natural state. And because of it, we're cast out of the camp. We're cast away from God. And I want to tell you that we are born. You know, some people were born lepers. Some people were born with it. It could be for whatever reason. And we'll talk about that maybe here a little bit too. But we're born that way. We didn't just acquire it. We weren't born with fresh new skin like we see on a baby. Spiritually speaking, we were born already defiled by this leprosy, already cast outside the camp, already alone and separated from God. That was leprosy, and that's sin. Now, I want us to understand also, it's not just that it was defiling and that it cast out from God, but the Jews understood and looked at leprosy to be a living death, a living death. You've heard the term dead man walking, haven't you? I think there was a movie maybe by that name about a guy on death row. But that refers to somebody that's bound for death. Maybe they're so sick and they're terminal, and you might think they're just a dead man walking. They're walking a little bit, but death is hot on their heels. And that's the way they looked at leprosy. They saw it as a living death because that person was soon to die because the leprosy, just like sin. See, leprosy might start out as just like a little spot, the way we talked about it. It started out as a spot, but see, then it'll spread. It'll spread so your skin's pristine except for this one little spot. Just one little spot. Well, that's okay. That spot will go away. That sin will go away. We'll clean that sin up and it'll be all right. That little spot, if it's true leprosy, that's why they would look at it. They would quarantine them for 7 days, and in 7 days more, then we'll see if it's really leprosy. Because if it's really leprosy, it'll start spreading. You won't be able to stop it. There's no medication, there's no ointment, no nothing to stop it from spreading. And the end result of the leprosy is it's completely all over the body. And the hair falls out, teeth fall out, fingers begin to fall off. Yes, it's horrible. And it's a horrible way to die, but it spreads. And that's the way sin is. It might start out, say, well, you come forth from your mother's womb speaking lies. And that's true. We look at a child, say, well, yeah, they're a sinner, but they're just a little sinner. They've told a couple of little lies or, you know, whatever. That's true. They've just got a little spot on their skin. But the older they get, as the years pass, it begins to spread. And each and every one of us, were it not for the mercy of God, would be completely and 100% defiled by it in the end. By the time we hit our deathbed, were it not for the blood of Jesus Christ, we'd be as eat up with sin as a leper is in his final stages when there's nothing left that's not defiled by it. That's the way sin is. It spreads and you just get more and more and more defiled. It's a living death. I want to read you a couple of scriptures on that. Numbers, in the 12th chapter, in the 9th verse. To give you the background on this, this was out there in the desert, in the wilderness with the children of Israel. And at some point, Miriam and Aaron, Moses' own brother and sister, murmured against him, didn't they? They said, what, is Moses the only prophet? You know, they were a little bit upset that God was, you know, Moses was like he was in charge, you know. They said, does God speak only to Moses? Hasn't he spoke, aren't we prophets too? Hasn't he spoke through us? And he had at that time. Well, God heard it and he was not happy. He was not happy. It says, in the anger of the Lord, 9th verse of the 12th chapter of Numbers, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow, and Aaron looked upon Miriam and beheld she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. And the Lord said unto Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that let her be received in again. And Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not until Miriam was brought in again. And so God visited punishment in the form of leprosy, highly visible. Now, she only suffered from it for 7 days. God took it away after 7 days. But I want you to see, my point is that Aaron said, don't let her be as one of the dead whose flesh is half eaten. That's the way they looked at the leprous person. There's somebody that might as well be dead. They were as good as dead. And I want you to understand that sin makes every one of us as good as dead, just like the leprosy did. See how this was a picture? A perfect picture that God was showing from the very beginning, all throughout, to get people to understand how defiling and how serious sin was. And so it was as if that they were dead. The next thing we'll notice about leprosy is that it's only healed by a divine act. Only healed by a divine act. Now, we just looked at this case of Miriam. There's only two cases that I'm aware of in the Old Testament where leprosy is healed. And both of them were divine acts. Here, leprosy was visited upon Miriam specifically for her sin. But God, and it was taken away after 7 days, and it was taken away by God. Moses prayed to her, God, take it away, please. And he said, well, she's going to suffer for 7 days. And he said, even if her father had just spit in her face, she'd be ashamed 7 days. That was a custom. That was a way that a father could publicly show displeasure with his child, and they would be shamed in public for 7 days. He said, if that were the case, so she'll stay out there. She will bear the shame of her reproach for 7 days in leprosy. But I want you to see that when it was taken away, it was done by divine act. There was no other way for that leprosy to be taken away. Let's look at the other case that I'm aware of in the Old Testament where the leprosy is taken away. 2 Kings in the 5th chapter, 7th verse. And this is the leper Naaman. I think I might have preached on him before here. We don't know how or why Naaman was visited with leprosy, but he was the captain of the host of the king of Syria, an important man, but yet he was a leper. And they had a little maid in his house that had been taken captive from Israel, and she said, she told him, there's a man of God in Israel that can take away your leprosy. And Naaman had tried just about everything else, and she said, well, I'll give that a try. And so he sent a letter to the king of Israel asking for an introduction, or asking where he could find this Elijah so that he could be healed of his leprosy. And so this is the king of Israel here in the 2 Kings 5th chapter 7 verse. And it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter, he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make him alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man from leprosy? Wherefore I consider, pray you, to see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. Now what I want you to note there is the king of Israel, he was a wicked man too, that king of Israel. We're not talking about the king of Judah. We're talking about the king of Israel. He was not a godly man, but he understood that only only God could take away leprosy. He was upset. He was scared because the king of Syria had wrote this letter on Naaman's behalf and said, "What am I, God, that I can kill and make alive, that I can take away leprosy?" See, he knew there was no earthly way. There was no man by his own healing powers, enchantments, ointments, whatever you name. There was only one way for leprosy to be taken away, and it was a divine act of God. Even this wicked king of Israel knew that, and he was scared because of it. And we know that Naaman went, and truly the man of God, Elijah, did take away his leprosy. It wasn't Elijah, it was God working power through Elijah. But we know that was taken away miraculously by divine act when he dipped himself 7 times there in the Jordan River. And so it was well known and well understood in Israel amongst all the people that leprosy could only be taken away. The defilement and uncleanness of leprosy could only be taken away, could only be alleviated, could only be cured by a divine act. It was so associated with a divine act of God that it was one of the signs of the coming of the Messiah. And they understood that. Listen over here in Luke, in the 7th chapter, in the 22nd verse. Now this is John the Baptist, after Jesus had been baptized and had been ministering. And John the Baptist was taken prisoner and was in jail before he was beheaded. And maybe his faith got a little bit weak, or maybe he didn't understand. Maybe he was looking for the Messiah to be in a kingly realm. But whatever, he was beginning to wonder, is Jesus really the one? And he sent some of his disciples to Jesus to say, are you really the one? And this was Jesus' answer. And then Jesus answering said to them, go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and to the poor the gospel is preached. Now that all come from Isaiah, where there was tidings of what would happen when the Messiah would come, and the sick would be cured, and the lame would walk, and the poor would be lifted up, and all those things. But Jesus noted that as a sign, as one of the proofs that he was the Messiah, is that the lepers were healed. And so it was so much associated, the healing of leprosy was so much associated with the power of God, with the divine act, that it was understood that lepers would be healed by the Messiah, and only by Him, only by direct intervention and power of God. That's what everybody understood about leprosy. And that's true about sin too, isn't it? Sin can only be cured, only be taken away, only be expunged. The defilement of sin can only be taken away by divine act. And you know, there's people out in this world, and there's all kinds of religions, and there's all kinds of teachings, even under the big umbrella of Christianity, that would try to make you think that there's something you can do to take away your sin. That there's something some man can do. There's some ritual. There's some ointment that you can put on it that will take it away. But just like that leprosy, once it's begun to spread, once it's identified as leprosy, only God can take it away. And that's true about the sin that defiles you. If you're lost this morning, if you're a sinner before God, the only thing that can alleviate your defilement is a divine act of God. It's divine from God only. Now, let's take a look at our text here a little bit in the 8th chapter. Now, this leper, he was over in Luke, I believe it is. It says that he was full of leprosy. Meaning, it's very likely that this fellow was not in the early stages of leprosy. He didn't just have it in one little spot. It had probably spread through his whole body. Remember, Luke was the doctor, the only Gentile writer of the Scriptures, who was a physician. And he gives us some insights and things that others don't. To Matthew, it was enough to say that he was a leper, but Luke notes that he was full of leprosy. Sin was in full bloom bloom, so to speak. His leprosy was in full bloom, and that represents sin in its full blossom. And he was without hope. I'm sure he had tried every other way, even though it had been tried for centuries and centuries, and nothing had ever worked. But he thought, maybe it'll work for me. Aren't people like that? Works have never secured salvation. They've never secured peace with God. Following some ritual has never given people peace with God. It's never taken away the defilement of sin. Going into the waters of baptism has never once given anybody down through the ages peace with God. And it's never taken away the defilement of sin. But people will try that, won't they? They'll try that along the ways, and maybe it'll be different for me. I'm sure this leper had done that. And there's many that will try every other way to get rid of the defilement of sin, but it won't work. And so here he was. He had tried everything. Probably at some point he was despairing that this leprosy would ever be healed, that he would be forever separated from the society of Israel, separated from the camp, separated from the temple, separated from God. I believe he, by this time that he was full of leprosy, I'm sure he was to the point that he despaired of ever being cured. He was going to die this way. He was going to die suffering and defiled. And I want to tell you, sinner, you're going to have to get to the point that you understand that there's nothing else that can be done, that there's nothing that's going to save you from the defilement of sin. But then... he heard about this man Jesus. He heard about this man Jesus that had done many wondrous works. Now, the way Matthew presents this, Jesus had not yet healed any other lepers. Now, I don't know if that's the case or not. What I want you to see is that this man had no hope. And he knew that he had no hope. But I believe God, witnessing in his heart, pointed him to this man Jesus that was doing many miracles. And he'd heard what he had done for others. And I'm sure there were people running around the countryside testifying about how he had returned their sight and made them walk. And all these other things that Jesus had done. And this leper got to thinking, well, you know, I'm not blind and I'm not lame and I don't have these other problems, but I bet if he can cure that, I bet he can cure my leprosy. And I want to tell you, sinner friend, that Jesus, he has saved all these other people from all of their sins. And whatever you might think is unique about you, it won't stop Jesus from his ability to cleanse you of your defilement as well. There's no sin that Jesus can't forgive. Just like there was no ailment in this body that was too far beyond him. This leper believed that. He came to him in faith and he said, listen to what he said. There came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now notice, there's not a question mark there. There's not a question mark. Now, there was perhaps a question in his mind about Jesus, if Jesus were willing. But he said, if thou wilt, thou canst. He had no doubt about the power of Jesus Christ. And if you're lost today, I don't want you to have any doubt about the power of Jesus Christ. See, that's faith. You have to get to the point where you believe, where you know that there's nothing else that will fix your sin problem. There's nothing else that will wash you clean of the defilement of sin. Whether you've tried it or not, you know for a fact there's nothing else, and that Jesus is the only hope, and that he has the power to do it. And then I want to assure you that he is willing. He is willing. And Jesus, you can just imagine how that he... It says in one of the, again, I think in Luke, this is recorded in Mark and Luke as well as Matthew. I believe it's recorded that he had mercy on him, or he pitied him. He looked at him and he pitied him because of the sad state that he was in. And I want to tell you that Jesus still pities sinners. Even though it was your sin and it was my sin that hung him on the cross, like we talked about a little bit in Sunday school, that it was our sins that put him on the cross. And yet he has pity on sinners, just like he did as he hung on that cross and he looked down. And he said, Father, lay not this sin to their charge. They know not what they do. They know not what they do. He had pity on even those that were crucifying him. And he has pity on every sinner that will come to him like this leper did. Defiled. And Jesus knew what it meant. See, he knew that he had been outside the camp. That he couldn't interact with people socially. He couldn't go to the temple. He couldn't do anything that was prescribed. He was separated from the people. He was separated from God. He was alone. And I want to tell you, I don't care how many friends you've got, how many social things you got going on, how great you think your life is. If you're separated from God, you're alone. And I'm telling you, every sinner comes to that conclusion when they really get on their knees and they really get before Jesus Christ. Because until you realize that you're alone, you won't be alone at the foot of the cross. And you have to be alone at the foot of the cross. Just you and Jesus are not room for anybody else. See, this man knew that he was alone. And Jesus had pity upon him because of the state that he was in. And I want to tell you, Jesus has pity on you if you're lost this morning. But you've got to come to him the way that this leper did. And so here, then look at this. Jesus, it says that Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. Touched him. Now there's nobody else. There's no other living being that would have done that. You know why? Because to touch a leper was to defile yourself. It was to defile yourself. If you touched a leper, you were defiled for a certain amount of time. There was all kinds of sacrifices and ritual cleansings and things you had to go through. And that was if you did it for a good reason. Like there were people that were involved with, maybe part of the cleansing process for a leper. But if they touched them in any way, they themselves were ritually defiled. They had to go through this process to get back so they could come back into the camp. But if you touched a leper for no good reason, just out of spite or because you didn't believe God or you just was going around touching lepers, you were cast out completely. It was not something that a person did lightly. And that's why the lepers ended up forming their own colonies and took care of themselves. Because nobody in Israel would go near them or touch them because it would defile them. And it might call into question whether they did it on purpose or what, and something bad might happen to them. But Jesus wasn't worried about any of that, was he? He wasn't worried about any of that. Now, I want you also to note that here in the Beatitudes, just a couple of chapters before this, Jesus had said, "I came not to do away with the law, but to fulfill the law." And here he is seemingly violating the law. And I said seemingly. I didn't say he violated the law. I said seemingly because he touched this leper. See, which ceremonially should have defiled him. But what I want you to understand is that Jesus is God. He's God, just as much God then as he is now. He touched him. Now, he didn't have to touch him. Here right before this, I think it talked about right after this, it's going to talk about the centurion. He healed the servant of the centurion from miles away. Didn't even lay eyes on the man and healed him. So he didn't have to reach out and touch this leper. But why did he? Well, I don't know the mind of God, but I think that he was showing that his perfection. He was showing his purity. Jesus was so pure and without sin that he could not be defiled spiritually. He couldn't even be defiled physically. Even this leprosy, which could spread, it wasn't going to spread onto Jesus because he was too pure. As a matter of fact, it was his very purity. The act of touching was as though he was giving his pure skin to this man. By the touch, he was transferring the purity of his skin to this man. Now that's not in fact what happened, but spiritually it is what happened. The virtue and the purity of Jesus Christ is what overcome both the leprosy on the outside and the sin on the inside. And sinner, I want you to understand that when you come to Jesus, he will not fail to reach out and touch you. He will lay his hand upon you. He will transfer his purity from his pure and sinless being into you to wash away your sins. And it'll take away. Said in that very moment, the leprosy was gone. And I want to tell you, the very moment that Jesus reaches out and touches a sinner, all defilement of sin is gone. It doesn't matter how ate up with it you are. Again, we said this man was probably He was full of leprosy. Now, I don't know what it looked like. I don't know whether it was like a puff. You know, sometimes we wonder, well, how did that happen? How did he just go from this skin that was completely defiled to being clean? I don't know. I don't know. And I don't know what if there was anybody else standing around looking from far off. I don't know what they thought. But see, that's what happened to my soul when I was 11 years old. It was defiled and blackened and ate up with sin. But when Jesus reached down, reached forth his hand, he said, when I came to him with true humbleness of heart and truly at the end of my rope, and I tried everything else and I was lost and undone and I was going to die that way were it not for the intercession of Jesus Christ. And I came and I said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can, please save me. And he reached forth his hand. He had mercy upon me just like he did this leper. And he reached forth his hand and he touched me. And like that, that defilement was gone. That blackness of sin was gone. And my soul was pure and new again, just like this man's skin was. That's the touch of Jesus. That's how you're made clean, by the touch of Jesus. Now, one more thing in this scene that I want to notice is that Jesus, he says, and immediately his leprosy was cleansed. He was not a leper anymore. It was done deal. All of his agony, all of it was gone. But Jesus also understood that it wasn't, yes, he was pure of skin, but he wasn't completely whole. He wasn't completely whole because he had to be integrated back into the Israelite society. And there was a process for that. Now Jesus made him clean. I want you to get that. There's nothing those priests could do to make him more clean. But there was a prescribed ritual. There was a, he said, give the sacrifice. Go present yourself to the priest. And that's what it said to do over there in Leviticus. He said, and give the sacrifice that Moses prescribed. Because Jesus knew. Now that didn't make him any cleaner. Didn't take away any more leprosy. But what it did was that was the outward thing that had to be done for him to be received into the company of Israel. To be able to go to the temple and worship and to be embraced within the society. And that's one of the things he needed too, right? Because he was alone. Now, he could have stayed out there alone. He'd be just as clean and just as free of leprosy and just as free of all of the pain and the defilement of it. But unless he went through this ceremony, he'd still be alone and cut off, in a manner of speaking, from the people. Not from God, but from the people. I want you to see that. Jesus understood that part of his complete restoration was restoration to a community. He had to be restored into the community. And in order to do that, he had to go through this ritual. There was no virtue in the priest. There was no virtue in the sacrifice of Moses. But it was the prescribed way. Now, I see a picture there. Maybe you don't. When I got saved, I was saved. The defilement was gone. But you know what? God has a society for His children to be integrated into. It's called His church. He wants us to become part of Israel. Those that are saved are Israel. And the New Testament church is Israel, I believe. I've preached that and I believe it wholeheartedly. Old Israel in the Old Testament, fleshly Israel, was always just a picture of spiritual Israel. And spiritual Israel resides in the church of Jesus Christ. And He wants people, after they have been cleansed of the defilement of their sin, they're still out there alone, so to speak. Now, yeah, you're with God, you're with Jesus, but we need to be integrated into a community. Community. This leper, it was great that he was clean, but he also really needed to be integrated back into the community. And that there was a prescribed route for that to happen. No virtue in it, but Jesus said, go do it. Go do it. Go present yourself to the priest. Now, all the priests wasn't going to do anything other than say, yeah, you're clean, all right. You're clean. And then they prescribed the sacrifice, and now he's back in. We do that, don't we? If you've been saved and you've never gone through the ceremony that needs to be gone through to be integrated into the community, you're missing something. There's so many that have gotten saved and they've kept quiet about it. They've never gone and declared, I'm clean. They've never stood up and given their testimony and told the world, I've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. I was lost and now I'm found. I was a sinner and now I'm a saint. Jesus has rescued me from hell, death, hell, and the grave. They've never stood up and told that. That's what he had to do to go to the priest publicly and say, listen, I'm clean. Look for yourself. I'm clean. That's what we're doing when we give a testimony publicly and say, the Lord saved me. Look at me. I'm clean. I'm clean from the defilement of sin. And then there's one other thing to be fully integrated. It's a ceremony. There's no virtue in it, but it's a public declaration to go into those waters of baptism. And so we present ourselves before the church of the living God and we give a testimony. He said, look at me, I'm clean. I was defiled. You know me, I was a sinner, but now I'm saved. The Master has touched me and taken away the defilement of sin. And let me give the sacrifice of obedience and follow the Lord in baptism and go into those waters and make a public declaration that the old man is buried and the new man is risen. And that's the pathway into the integration into the society of the saints. And we need that, don't we? We need that. People that have been saved that are outside the society of the saints that haven't been integrated in, they're missing something. They're not experiencing the full joy of their salvation, and they're not able then also to partake of the community, but to give to the community. You know, it takes everybody in the community to do on their part. It's not, you don't just come into church to get. I hope we come into church to give of ourselves as well. It takes all of us as part of this community to do what God wants us to do. And so I see in this when Jesus tells him, go and tell no man, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, offer the gift, and be integrated back into the community. There's a parallel there. Once you've been saved, you're not going to get any more saved. You can keep to yourself, never tell a soul, never get baptized, and go to your grave, and you're just as saved, and you'll wake up in heaven. But oh, the things that you've missed by not being part of God's community. Jesus wanted this man to be part of the community that God had established. God wants all of His children. If you're out there and you've been saved and you've never told it, you need to go see the priest and you need to give the sacrifice. You need to tell the church. You need to say, yes, I am saved. I have been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. And I'm going to follow the Lord in baptism as a public declaration. And I want to be integrated into this community. That's what Jesus wanted for that man, and that's what He wants for all those that He saved. Finally, the high priest. This is really the thought that I started with when I started studying this. This is my main point, and everything else kind of, it works that way sometimes. Listen to what, when I read, it said, if a man has a rising in the flesh, if he has something that don't look right, he goes to the high priest, says, go to Aaron. Aaron's going to look at it. And then the high priest, in the third verse of the 13th chapter of Leviticus, will pronounce him unclean. Nobody else could say, yeah, I think he got leprosy. I think he got leprosy. There was no self-diagnosis. There was no med-MD. There was none of that stuff. You had to go to the source. The high priest was the only one that could diagnose the leprosy. The everybody else might look and say, oh, I don't think there's something wrong with that guy. I wouldn't go close to him. Looks like leprosy to me. A lot of backyard high priests there, I'm sure. But there was only one that could declare a person unclean. And then if it did clear up, whether miraculous or otherwise, if it cleared up, the only one that could declare him unclean said, and in the sixth verse, and if he's done all this, and then the priest shall pronounce him clean, it is but a scab, then he shall wash his clothes and be clean. The priest shall pronounce him clean. The only person that could declare a person unclean was the high priest. And on the other side of that, the only one that could declare him clean was the high priest. I want to tell you, there's only one person that can tell you you're lost. Mom and Dad can't tell you you're lost, but you'll know it. You know who tells you you're unclean? Jesus Christ tells you you're unclean. And I want to say, when the high priest says you're unclean, there was no argument. You couldn't bring Mom and Dad. And somebody said, well, it's just a little spot. That's hereditary. It's always been like that. It runs in the family. Whatever it might be, there was no excuses. When the high priest said you're unclean, you're unclean. And I want to
tell you, if the high priest Jesus Christ has told you you're lost, you're lost. If he's told you that you're separated from God, you're separated from God. I don't care who your mom and dad is, grandma and grandpa, what church you've been in, how many times you've been to the altar, anything. If the high priest himself tells you're unclean, you're unclean. And that uncleanness extends. There's no way to get back into fellowship until you come the route of that God has prescribed, and you're cleansed by the miraculous hand of God. And there's nobody that can declare you clean except the high priest. You see that? God tells you in your heart when you're a sinner. And God will tell you in your heart when you're clean. That's the God that we serve. It's personal. Mom and dad can't tell you that you're all right. You prayed enough. You've done enough. The preacher can't. Nobody else can tell you. Nobody else sees the heart. Only the high priest can declare you clean. Everybody else can look and say, I'm pretty sure they're clean. I'm pretty sure something happened there. I'm pretty sure, you know, when he came up off that altar, I'm pretty sure, you know, he had a smile on his face, whatever. We got to be very careful of assuming the office of high priest. We are kings and priests before God, but none of us is the high priest. Jesus Christ is the high priest. And I'm telling you, in Israel, there's nobody that would assume the duties of the high priest. Nobody would be foolish enough to tell a leper, I don't care how clean his skin looked, if he was a leper and had been declared unclean, there's nobody that would have been foolish enough to say, well, you know, I'm pretty sure you're clean. You know, you're clean, you're good. You know, the only person that did that, Jesus Christ right here. When he said, you're clean, and he said, now go to the priest and do the thing that you're supposed to do. But I'm telling you, nobody would have presumed to take on the role of the high priest. And woe unto anybody in this life that presumes to take upon them the role of the high priest and try to declare a sinner cleansed. I don't care how clean they look, what you saw, what you think, you better keep it to yourself and let the high priest tell them that they're saved. Let the high priest tell them that they're clean. That's what we believe as missionaries. It's that one little thing. That's one of the main things that separates us from a lot of others out there. Is we are not going to short circuit the high priest. We're not going to take his job from him. We're going to wait. We're going to wait for the high priest to declare somebody clean. That's hard sometimes. But I see with my own. Look, I'm 99.9% sure they're clean. You better keep your mouth shut. You better let the high priest do his job. And he will. He will. Because then when the high priest declares you clean, well, then there's nothing else to say. There's nothing anybody else can say. It's a done deal then. And when Jesus cleaned me up, it was done. It was done. Then I'm thankful for that. There's no other way. God will tell you when you're unclean. We call that the age of accountability. I knew when I was 9 years old, down there playing with my cars, and God got a hold of me, and he said, unclean, 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 and I knew it. And 2 years later, when he cleaned me up, I knew it too. Nobody else had to tell me because the high priest told me. Last thing. I said that, a person that's not defiled by leprosy, a person that's clean, can get in touch. And if they come in touch with that leprosy, if they get too close to it and touch it, especially if they touch it when they don't have to, it defiles them. And there's a process for getting clean again. Saints of the Lord, the defilement, sin can defile us, can't it? Especially if we get out there and touch on it and we don't have to. There's times we have to, there was people, I'm sure, in more merciful times in Israel that got out there and helped with I'm sure there's people, just like there's people today, I'm sure, that work in leper colonies and, you know, have a burden to help those people. I'm sure there were people in Israel that got in and helped those lepers as much as they could. And maybe they got defiled a little bit and it wasn't, they didn't do it on purpose, but they touched them and got, but they still had to get themselves cleaned up. There was a process. And I want to tell you, when we go out there in the world, we're going to rub shoulders with sin. We're going to rub shoulders with that leprosy, that defilement. But we don't ever have to worry. If you've been saved, it's not going to get on you and spread again, but it still makes you unclean for a little while. And you've got to go through the route of getting cleansed. And God has prescribed a route. He said, get on your knees and call out. John said that if we pray to Him, if any man sin, let him, he has an advocate with the Father. And so we need to go and ask that the Lord would clean us up. Lord, I've gotten and in touch just through walking through this world. I've gotten in touch with the defilement of sin. I've rubbed up against some lepers, but Lord, clean me up because I don't want to be separated from You. I don't want to be outside the camp. Lord, I need You to clean me up.
And He's faithful to do that. He's faithful to do that. When we touch sin, we'll get defiled by it, but God will clean us up again. Now, I'm not talking about getting saved again, but I am talking about getting our feet washed. Getting our feet washed again. Be thou clean. Be thou clean. Leprosy is a good picture of sin. Every one of us born defiled by it. Maybe it starts out as a little spot, but unless Jesus Christ gets involved, unless you meet the Master along the way like this man did, you'll die, eat up with it, and you'll never see God, you'll never see heaven, and you'll go to a place where all the other lepers are at for all of eternity. A place called hell. But praise God, you don't have to go that way. You can be clean by the blood of Jesus Christ, by the touch of the Master. Just like that man was, if you come to Him in repentance and faith. Repentance and faith is the way to be made clean from the spiritual defilement of sin. Be thou clean this morning. That's my prayer for each and every one. If you don't know the Lord, be thou clean. Brother Dyer, if we can get a song.